When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Eve.
Hey everyone, I'm Courtney Revolution.
And I'm Savannah Palacio.
And welcome to
The Homecoming Queens.
Every Wednesday on Homecoming Queens, we have a special guest from the reality verse to tell us what it's like to wake up one day and have everybody know your name.
The full episode of Homecoming Queens is available on our Homecoming Queens podcast YouTube channel. So watch us. Make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe. You already know what to do.
Today's guest is Davina. You may know her as one of the shining stars from Netflix's Selling Sunset. But first, you know my good Judy, Sav, and I need a kiki. What's going down, Sav? That was my best impression of Courtney from the very beginning of the podcast.
You ate.
Did I?
You
my
did.
Good Judy Sav.
That sounds just like me.
It is. Not as cute, though. I love when you say it. When you're like,
hey, girl, what's the TTT?
Oh, my heart flutters. What's the TTT? What do you say?
What's going on, babes?
What's big and what's quick and nothing much, you know? I honestly stayed home all weekend this weekend to clean out my entire closet. I think I just needed like a reset. Mm. You know, I needed to purge my life of everything I didn't need or wear or use. I did the same thing with all of my bathroom products. Oof. And I feel so light now.
Light and airy, like and whipped airy. Cream cheese.
Yeah, easy breezy beautiful.
Cover Girl? Like an America's Next Top Model challenge.
What about you? What did you do this weekend? Actually, I saw your story.
Which one?
And I think you forgot to invite me to someone's house.
What do you mean?
You went to a little shindig, a little partay.
So.
A siesta.
A little siesta.
I mean, a siesta isn't that, but yeah, siesta. Fiesta.
I mean, I took a siesta before the fiesta.
Ooh, I love a siesta. Ooh, before the fiesta.
A little pre-fiesta siesta.
Yeah.
Y'all know I don't be checking my DMs like that, but on one particular day I did, and there was a DM from Miss Chrishell Stouse, star of Selling Sunset, icon, legend, beautiful woman. Mm-hmm. And she was like, come over to the crib. I'm having a game night / karaoke night. Come dressed as someone that you would sing as. It's giving karaoke.
Who did you dress as?
I dressed specifically as One Direction era Harry Styles.
Okay.
So I wore like a floral print shirt, skinny black jeans, black boots, necklace.
Love that.
So I basically dressed as myself and called it Harry Styles. And
I was gonna say, how is that different from your like everyday fashion? But pop
it's
off.
It's not my fault that me and Harry were aligned while he was in a boy band.
Okay.
Fashionably, you know?
With respect, yeah.
And I honestly had a really great time. I don't like doing things alone just in general. But I was like, you know what, Chrishell invite me, bitch, I'm going alone.
All right, everyone, help me welcome home Selling Sunset's beautiful, gorgeous, stunning, intelligent Davina.
Ooh, Davina.
What an intro. Thank you so much.
Of course, Davina, you deserve it.
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you.
Welcome on home, Davina.
Hi, guys.
We've been waiting. We've been waiting for you, Davina.
Oh, so sweet. Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you so much for coming on to our podcast. We have a lot to get into today.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Oh, boy. Okay.
So Courtney and I met Davina not too long ago for the very first time, and we were gagged.
Yeah, we were gagged. I definitely was gagged.
Wait, really? You were completely gagged?
Davina, you know what? And I told you this at the time that I met you. I don't think, at least not in the earlier seasons, that the show did you justice.
No, it certainly didn't. But after everything you've seen, what were you expecting? I'm just curious what you guys expected.
Oh, you honestly, know what? Honestly, I wasn't really expecting. I don't really think I had a lot of expectations. I think I was, and I think that's why I was so taken back when I met you, because you are so tall. I mean, gorgeous, long legs, thin, you know, just you look like a model. And I actually read online that you were a model. You were Come signed on. To Ford, right? Mm-hmm, and yeah. So I that's something I didn't know about you. And I think that is kind of where everyone, I mean, at least everyone who watches Selling Sunset the way I do, we don't know who the real Davina is. And that's exactly why I'm so excited that you're here with us today.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I think... it's weird seeing some of the comments, especially in the past, where people were, you know, had such negative perceptions, and they thought I was just really cold. Mm-hmm. And they meet me, and I'm friendly and warm and sweet, and they're like, "What?" And so that shows you the magic of television.
Right.
Yes,
yeah.
Ma'am. And I feel like that's what our podcast is all about, Davina, kind of like giving this platform to our girlies to kind of like really show who they are. So yeah. To really kind of kick it off, honestly, like what does the world not know about Davina? Because I feel like with some of the other ladies, we get into some of their life stories. But what's going on with you, Davina?
Right. What is Davina into?
Yeah.
Or not into?
I mean, all kinds of stuff. I'm into health and wellness and beauty and art and dinners. And I'm really close to a lot of my friends and family. Nothing unusual or strange. I mean, as I think people saw, I go to Burning Man and I love electronic music. I'm from Germany. My mom is part Native American. So there's a little bit of that. I just don't share my personal life on there too much as far as dating. Mm-hmm. It's really, I think some of the other ladies really struggled with that on there. And unless I feel like, you know, you're getting married and you're going to have a baby, like Heather got married and she's pregnant now, which is so amazing. Like, I feel like that's a pretty straightforward storyline, but I think some of the other stuff got really intense on there, and that's, I didn't want to do that. So, and then I don't think it's necessarily fair for the other person if they're not willing to share. So,
right. Yeah. I think that's very understanding of you. I think, you know, not a lot of people think, oh, my friend doesn't want to be on camera, or maybe my friend has never wanted to be on reality TV, right?
But I was in a 3.5-year relationship when I started the show, and he was in a couple of scenes. Yeah, he was in a couple of scenes, but we didn't want to do one-on-ones because we saw what, for example, Mary and Romaine went through, and Mary was crying, and we were like, wow, this doesn't look good. This doesn't feel good, you know? So, and he was a pretty serious entrepreneur with big investors, and he didn't want to risk his reputation. So I can understand that. You can't blame somebody, right? So.
Definitely, definitely not. Do you think that not sharing those small parts of your life, though, kind of made it so that the audience couldn't relate to? I mean, with respect to Mary and Romaine, we love them, but like you said, a lot of people had opinions about their relationship, and it definitely was not easy on her. Do you think that maybe that hurt you in a way?
You know, I think it took away a dimension of my life, of my personality. It doesn't show vulnerability because we didn't have these conversations on camera. But honestly, I mean, like, you know, obviously it didn't work out. We broke up, right? So I'm glad that's not on camera because it was too emotional for me. Mm-hmm. But also for the other person, if they're not willing to talk about it, then, I mean, what are you going to do? So I think it's really a tough thing to go through on camera, and it's not necessarily going to be edited in your favor.
Of course.
And especially after the editing that I went through, why would I want to expose something so sensitive?
Why would you subject yourself to more bad editing?
Like, what are they going to do in the editing? Like, is it going to look even different, worse, or completely different than what really happened? That was too risky for me. So
right.
It wasn't, the ROI wasn't there, the return on investment, you know, because it's like, if I show that, what am I risking having out there? So like of the story that the audience will see, that's completely different. Or maybe they're missing parts and so on, you know? So you guys have seen breakups on the show. They're pretty tough. So
Oh yeah. That's part of the reason why I won't.
Yeah.
I won't. I mean, I totally get you.
You guys get it.
Oh, a thousand percent.
We get it, Davina.
No lies were told.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, Davina, was being on TV something that you were kind of into initially when, you know, this opportunity came up at work for you? Was it something that you were automatically like, yeah, I'm down for it? Or were you a little bit kind of like, I don't know?
you know, I never planned on being on TV. I was never an actress. I did exclusively modeling and commercial. Like I did like a Nissan commercial and so on, right? So I'm SAG and everything, but I'm not an actress. I have no training in acting. I don't have like voice training, or I, you know, don't think about like, oh, how's this going to look on camera other than visually as far as modeling. So that was not a plan of mine, a goal. And so when this came up, it was very out of the blue, but I knew everyone involved, right? Like Jason and Brad and some of the ladies. And I was like, this could be a good idea. I felt like, wow, this, I feel like this is going to be successful. I genuinely, in my heart, from day one, thought this was going to be a success. And I didn't know, and you could never imagine it would get to this point, but I thought it would be popular just based on what I knew. And Maya did too, which is why she was like, I'm going to fly out from Miami. I'm going to keep doing this, you know? So we're both like, all right, let's give it a shot. You know, everything in life is a risk. So we were like, let's try it. And we thought it was going to be, I thought it was going to be more like $1 million listing. I had no idea of the concept or what the focus was as far as storyline or fashion. And, you know, I'm not entirely sure that the producers knew what the format or the focus was going to be until we started filming and they were evolving and the characters were evolving. And you saw somebody like Christine bring the crazy fashion and stuff. So I think then it kind of evolved, but they did have, I'm sure, a little bit more of a game plan. And I knew nothing. I thought it was purely going to be a real estate show, like doing deals on you know, phones.
Right, because
like,
you were a real, you're a real, I mean, everyone for the most part, there is a real realtor, correct?
Yes, everyone's a real realtor. We all have licenses.
Right. And so you're like doing this show now, right? Like all of a sudden it's like a reality show. Mm-hmm. And so it becomes more than just about real estate.
Right. But we had no idea how much focus there would be on the interpersonal dynamics. I mean, at most, we thought it would be like a side thing, but it really is the main meat and potatoes of the show at this point. Right. So, which is great, but I didn't understand. So you have to like think about my background. It's like I sold real estate for big developers like the Ritz-Carlton, the W, developers in Beverly Hills. They were pretty corporate jobs, like pretty serious jobs. Right. And you have to report to the developer price per square foot and their marketing budget and all that kind of stuff, and they're expecting results like what's the conversion rate of the traffic that's coming in, and like I have to answer to these guys, right? So they were pretty serious jobs, and it was like a very professional job, like corporate, right? So you're wearing more conservative clothes because you're trying to be respectful and you don't want
a corporate girly.
You know, so that I thought like, okay, real estate, like this is a like, you know, $1 million listing suits type of thing. And I was like, these girls, how are they dressing? Like they're dressing like they're going out, you know, to like a party. And I was like, well, they look amazing, but I didn't think it was appropriate for real estate. When I saw the show, I was like, oh, they're focusing on the fashion. This is totally different than what I thought.
Yeah.
So, and I didn't understand the format, right? So that was kind of how the evolution.
What was that for you? Because as I watched the seasons go on, And I mean this with the utmost respect, your fashion sense completely evolved, like anyone's fashion sense, you know?
I feel like you became
more fashion forward on the show. I'm not saying that you were never fashion forward in real life, but on the show, it became very evident that you kind of let loose a little bit more and you were less of a corporate girly as the seasons went on. I still think you do dress the most conservative.
That's exactly what I was like referencing, you know?
Yeah, exactly. What was that like?
It was fine. I mean, I understood very quickly what was happening. So then I was like, oh, okay, no, I can do this. But it's like, people to assume that you don't get it. And they're like, oh, you're on the spectrum. It's like, guys, let me see you have no acting experience. Go on a show that you don't know what the format is. And then let me see you deal with that. You know, it's like, I didn't know what I signed up for. Literally, I had no idea. And I think a lot of us didn't know. And then you kind of learn as you go, right?
So. Well, now you do it, girl, and you also do it very well.
I know that's right.
Thank you.
Late to the party, but you're here.
Davina.
Well, You know, I think people underestimate me, and they assume all sorts of things, right? But I'm like, oh, okay, this is a fashion show. Okay, we can do that. Yeah, I can do that.
So. You were like, girl, I was with four. Because I did read a little bit of you. I try to learn like about all the people we interview. I actually read something really interesting, and it's a theory. Because I couldn't find anything else about it online, so I really want to debunk it. Were you on Million Dollar Listing New York?
No, I was on the LA one, but I wasn't like a cast member. I'm friends with the Altman Bros, and so we did a scene, I think, in one of the Coldwater Canyon houses, I think, yeah.
Right, it said that you were a season regular, but I was trying to go into the episode.
Yeah, the press just adds, or they just make things up.
For the clicks.
They're trying to use you for some coin, girl. I was like, $1 million listing, Davina. All that came up was that freaking house that we were all at.
Oh, Jesus.
I was like, this is not what I'm looking for.
Davina, I have a question. For those of our listeners and watchers out there that have never been on reality TV before, can you walk us through like what a typical day of you shooting a scene is like? Like, give us that BTS. What is that like for you?
Okay, so the BTS of, let's say, you know, our schedule is very spontaneous and last minute. So as you guys know, I'm sure, it can be, you know, there could be something like a wedding or a specific party or something that is set on a day. So you at least know, okay, that one is locked in on that day. Mm-hmm. But they could call and say, hey, something happened yesterday in the scene, so we're going to have a follow-up. So we're going to do a coffee scene at 10 a.m., you know, I'm just throwing it out there, like Coffee Bean. Okay.
Yeah.
At 10 a.m. with, you know, another cast mate. And then we have an office scene at 2 o'clock, and then we have a party at 8. Now that's a jam packed day. Those are three scenes, big scenes. Yeah. Sometimes we have four office scenes in one day back to back at the office. That's a lot.
Four scenes? You have to pretend it's like four different days, you mean?
Yeah.
So we bring four different outfits.
Oh, y'all be working.
Yeah, the tough part is that the bathroom is tiny in there, okay? And it's gorgeous and beautiful, but it's not like super operational for hair and makeup, right? So the light is really dim. You can barely see yourself in this tiny little mirror. And there's like, what, 8, 9, 10 of us girls, and we're all trying to change and look at, fix the lipstick and put the earrings and change the hair because we have four scenes. And so we're like, okay. So sometimes things are shot like out of sequence a little bit, and it doesn't make it fake, but it's something that happened 2 weeks ago and we have to talk about it again, or maybe a certain person was missing and then, you know, talk about it again. And so we do it so many different ways. So it's real, but sometimes, again, like someone was missing or something happened. So we have to reshoot it. And then sometimes just the shooting schedule is like, you just got to crank it out in one day. Mm. So those are long days, but the crew is amazing. They work really hard. They get us lunch, you know, but the office is tight. And so we're all, you know, rushing, changing, putting on shoes in the bathroom, that tiny little bathroom. So that can be a little crazy when it's three different things, like, you know, like out of the office, like a coffee and maybe a showing and maybe a party, then you are usually going home to change. Mm. And then you're trying to change your hair too. So you got to like have three or four different hair people.
Right.
Because a lot of them are not available last minute. Right. So it's like, you're like, hey, are you free randomly? Can you do braids or whatever, you know, curl my hair, or you're going to dry bar, just trying to make it happen.
Yeah.
And rushing to the scene. So it looks like a different look. And, you know, we've set the bar so high now, all of us, that everyone's like, you got to go above and beyond. You can't show up. It's just basic hair. Right. So,
oh my gosh. No, you guys all look incredible. I'm like, can I be in the market to buy a house just so I can be around you guys?
Yeah,
because you guys are all so hot.
How long do y'all shoot? Like per year? Like how many months?
Oh my gosh. Usually like 6 months, but this time I think it's going to be like 8 or 9 months.
Oh,
Shut up.
Yeah. Yeah. They said we got some things to get into. Y'all going to work.
Hopefully that'll help. Hopefully that'll help to like disperse more of the filming. So you're not doing like four different scenes. That's stressful. I didn't know that. That's a lot.
Well, you know, the thing is that we have a bigger, I think, I don't know how big the cast, but I think they're adding one or two people. Oh. So I'm not sure. Don't quote me, but I think that's what's happening. So that makes the cast bigger again, right? Mm. So then you're not necessarily shooting every day. But then one day you could have like an all day thing. So it's really all over the place. But you're probably not shooting every single day. It's unusual to, it's like we shoot Tuesday through Saturday, I think. And it's unlikely that you're going to be shooting every single day. So, but it's hard because the glam, the hair and makeup, got to plan it all ahead. And so then there's last minute stuff like, hey, can you just be here at 8 tomorrow? It's like, no, but yes.
Yeah. So do you have like a glam team? I imagine you have to have someone like hair, at least.
I have multiple people that I can call, but you know, they're not always available. So,
right. Oh my goodness. So you're just,
you have to be able to do it yourself if you have to, right?
Yeah. You have to be a DIY queen.
We definitely did it ourselves before. I know a lot of us are like, let's just make it happen. You know,
for sure. Oh, for sure.
Wowee. Yeah. That kind of blew my mind. Davina, what can you tell us in three words what it was like when you finished the first season of Selling Sunset? What emotions you felt when them credits rolled after the first season? How did you feel?
I like that question, Courtney.
When it had aired or after we saw it? Because we saw it like a week or two before.
After it aired and you knew that you had seen it, the whole world had seen it. How did you feel?
Yeah, how did you feel?
I was shocked and anxiety, and I was just really hurt and disappointed because the way things turned, like happened, was not the way I experienced it. Let's just say that.
Okay.
Okay. That's fair.
But I mean, I'm not stuck in those feelings. I'm good. I'm over that.
Yeah,
but
that was then.
I was like, oh, I understand now. I get it. I got it now. So I was like, yes,
Davina. Yeah. It happens to the best of us. You don't get what you're getting yourself into. And then once the show come out, you're like, put me back in front of that camera. I got y'all next time.
Yeah. Okay. Then you're sitting in front of that camera and you're thinking, like, they ask you for a response and you want to say, like, you're like, oh, and then you remember, oh, I got to dial this back because they're going to take this clip and they're going to use it somewhere else.
Exactly.
So.
Okay.
Oh, well, I'm really sorry that you felt like that coming off of the first season, but.
That's all right. It's part of the deal. I think everyone has had those moments.
For sure.
Every single one of us.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah. So, it's fine. And I think that you can easily turn things around. Not easily, but you can turn things around. And I think if you understand the big picture, then you're a little more at peace with it. And you're like, oh, okay, this is what we're doing here. But, you know, I had, again, no experience. So anyone new that joins our cast is like, oh, this is going to be a roller coaster again. You know, there's no amount of preparation anyone can do. Like, for example, when Chelsea joined, I was like, girl, trust me on this. I don't know.
And I think, literally.
There's no amount of preparation that can prepare somebody. And because, you know, it's also like, do they trust you? Because then they think you're trying to manipulate them because you're a cat. And I was like, I understand all the feelings that are going on in your head. I get it. But, you know, just think about the different ways that this could look and different things that are happening and stuff, just in general, not even with me, just in general. And I said, we've all gone through this roller coaster. And I think she understands now, because then when she saw the show back, she was like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Did you expect to be portrayed the way you were? Did you, like, when you were filming it or even after?
After Christine's wedding, you wasn't like, okay, girl,
after
it's
Christine's
about to wind up like this.
Still, it was not, it was, that was definitely not my intention. And I can't get into the every detail of the filming, right?
But, of course.
That was not how I meant it, which is like the way that it looked was not my intention.
How did you mean it? I want to know.
Well, okay. So it's, you know, I've rehashed this and I've done people exclusive about this. So I don't want to go on and on and on, but it was like 3 hours of filming this scene. And there was a conversation between Heather and Mary first about an article. And then Heather was like, oh, can you back me up? Because I didn't mean it that way, because she had overspoken. It was totally harmless. And then something came up about, hey, Maya and Davina, you guys were talking to Christine about Chrishell's divorce. Can you, you know, talk about that? And we were like, we don't know what happened. We don't even want to get into this. Like, this is Christine's wedding. You know, of course, you didn't see that part, right?
Yeah, of course.
And then Maya starts talking and I was getting kind of annoyed because I didn't want to talk about this. I was like, this is Christine's wedding. Like, Chrishell's sitting here upset. Like, this is not what I want to be doing right now. But here we are talking about this. And so my tone raises and I wasn't aware of the tone inclinations and things like that and how they come across. It was my mistake. But again, I'm not an actress. So I said, you know, I wanted to be honest and say, well, we did have a scene, Maya, Christine and I, where we were at Christine's house making tea, right? Mm. And we said, well, we don't know what happened, you know, two sides of every story. And we didn't mean it in an offensive way at all. And I, in my mind, was just trying to get the scene over with because I was irritated. And I was like, I don't know what happened. Why are you guys like asking me? I don't know. Mm. And it looks like I'm some sort of way like antagonizing or, you know, trying to offend Chriselle, which was not my intention at all. Mm. And the energy I had was more about having to do this scene versus like directed at her.
I hella feel
and,
that.
Yeah. And I think I know for a fact that it was edited. And if you look closely, you can see it's very choppy. Mm. And I said, obviously you didn't get, you know, married to get divorced. I was married. I got divorced. That wasn't my goal either. Like I get that. Right. Mm. But it doesn't sound like I'm empathetic. It sounds like I'm like attacking or, you know, being annoying or something. I don't know. So it was very much my tone. And I think my energy was misrepresented in how I meant it.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You know,
I agree.
That's, but if you don't know me and if you don't know how it all works and you see the choppy version and you're just like, wow, this is so offensive and so rude. How can you talk like that? Blah, blah, blah. And then of course, they also muted out the other people that were talking in the scene. Mm. So it was like, I'm just talking on my own in this crazy monologue going like, oh, la, 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 you know? So, yeah. So that's, yeah.
The power of editing.
It's the power of editing. And I just want to make it clear that although those events have happened in the past, y'all, me, Davina, and Miss Chriselle and Miss Chelsea, we kicked our heels up recently and we had a gay old time.
Good.
So that,
yeah,
that's all
totally
just,
good.
That's entertainment. We just wanted that BTS.
Well,
Davina.
Here's the thing, you know, after that, the show really, really blew up, right?
Yes,
and
ma'am.
Because drama sells.
Yes. And I got an insane amount of hate, you know, and I understand the way it looked, totally aware of that. However, if it wasn't for this big contrast and this dramatic moment, I don't think it would have been as jarring and as like,
yes, ma'am.
You know, my God, did you see that scene where Davina is like talking to Chriselle?
Girl, because we was talking about you, girl.
No,
what the hell she said?
Everybody knew about Sally Sunset. Everybody knew about me. And
we
and
knew about Davina, girl.
Everybody had something to say about it, right? And when everybody has something to say about you, well, Davina, does your back hurt? Because you're carrying that show the whole season on your back,
you
Davina.
Silly.
I don't know about that. I mean, look, it's all of us did.
You put in work. You put in work that season.
Davina, I watched that moment. I watched Christine's wedding specifically while I was in the circle. We had like one off day, if you make it far enough, where you get to like watch Netflix. And I watched that and I said, damn.
Yeah. Whew,
now I'm ready to send some people home tomorrow. I got the spirit of Davina living in me, girl. We gonna stir this pot, girl. And y'all hoes is going home. Period.
Here's the thing. Like I am like direct and I am bold. And
yes,
I'm,
you are.
I like to be honest and have courage. So I'm like, all right, you guys want me to talk about the fact that me, Maya, and Christine talked about the fact that, you know, Chriselle got divorced and we don't know what happened, which is the truth. And of course my heart goes out to her, but that's not what brings drama to the show. And they wanted us to talk about like, well, what do you think happened? We have no idea. And God bless these two people to have to even talk about it, you know?
Mm. And, seriously.
And so, but it puts us in a bad position. Like, I don't want to talk about this. I don't know, you know? And, but again, like that, this is exactly why I didn't want to talk about my personal relationships. Cause look at it.
You see,
like,
so right.
From
you're
my
so
position,
right.
Yeah, I'm seeing that we're having to talk about what might have happened, which we don't know. So imagine it was the reverse. Like, say it was my breakup and they would have to talk about what do you think happened and all that. They would be uncomfortable too. So it's like.
And here you are just trying to be
neutral.
Understanding. Right. Yeah. And that's not the word I'm looking for is a C. It starts with a C.
Compassion.
Compassionate. Yeah. Thank you. You're just trying to be compassionate, right? To your friend's situation.
Yeah,
and then the show comes out and then you're misconstrued as the bad guy.
Like I'm annoyed that I have to talk about this. So that's where you see me looking like I'm aggressive or like
cold.
Strong. Yeah, cold. And I'm like, at the same time, I know we need a storyline. Yeah. And we got, you know, like Kershaw was brave enough to talk about, like, okay, I'm getting divorced, right? That's like insanely brave to me, right? And now we're in the uncomfortable position having to talk about what might have happened. Like, yeah, okay, this is not fun for any of us. So we're just like, we don't know. And I wanted to be honest and say, well, yeah, you're going to see the scene that Christine Maya and I did at her house drinking tea. So I might as well own up to it and tell you that we had the scene, right? And then I said, well, I don't know what happened, which I thought was taking a neutral position. But again, my tone, it sounded so, I guess, assertive, you know, aggressive. I don't know how it sounded, but it wasn't good. So,
I mean, like you said, you are not a trained actress, you know. I think going on, and me and Courtney always say this, going on a reality TV show will teach you a lot about yourself. So you probably had just no idea that you just had this tone. You didn't mean anything by it. You meant nothing malicious by it, but you were irritated in the moment, and that's totally understanding.
I think, because I had to talk about something I didn't want to talk about.
Right. Yeah. And that's what the audience doesn't see.
And not at Kershaw, which is what it looks like.
Yeah. And that's what the audience doesn't see, that, and you know, that it makes total sense. I think I would be equally as irritated.
Davina, I got a question. How do you and Mary and Heather and all of y'all get chosen out of everyone at work to be on Selling Sunset? Because there's other people that work there with y'all, right? But we don't see them. We don't know them. Yeah, we know so y'all.
The brokerage did start off smaller. So there wasn't as many people in the beginning. And then also Jason is like genuinely close to everyone. We're all friends and he socializes as well. Like we go to dinner and parties and stuff. So the group was smaller before. So I think he was like, well, these are my friends. They're realtors. He, you know, obviously dated Mary in the past. And so he was like, yeah, these are the people that I work with. These are my friends. It's all in one, right? Work and personal. So he was like, these are the people. And then they just kind of interviewed everyone. And I actually wasn't part of the original cast, but I joined last minute. I did a transaction with Brett, and I was working for developers, and he goes, hey, you know, I think we're going to get this show. And I was like, oh, I have so many friends from modeling that are actors. I was like, oh, they all do pilots and sometimes it works. And I was like, yeah, whatever. I didn't really take it serious. I was like, yeah, whatever.
Wow.
And he's like, no, you should meet the producers. And I was like, all right, you know, sure. Like I'll meet them. No problem. So I met them and they're like, you're great. And you're different from the other girls. You want to join? And I was like, okay, this is exactly why I had like literally no idea of the format or what it was even about. Like no clue. I just was like, all right, let's do the show, which was in a way, you know, hindsight was maybe what was easy to take advantage of. Right.
Definitely.
No,
I was just thinking they saw you and they saw an opportunity with you.
Yeah.
They even told you, oh, you're different from the other girls.
And Davina is very different.
And Davina's so different, but they,
like different in what way? And here's the thing. You could be a genius. If you don't have the experience or understanding of a subject, then how could you know unless you've gone through it?
Exactly.
And, and if you know nothing about acting, reality TV, then, you know, it doesn't matter how smart you are. It's like you have no idea what's happening. And then when you see how it all works, you're like, oh, okay, I got it.
And it isn't until it's too late with reality TV that you recognize it. So you don't know how to handle reality TV until you go on it. And even when you go on reality TV, it's never the same way the next time or the time after that. It's... The process.
I think there are some things that you can learn that can make you more empowered, you know, without going into too much detail. But I think it's not about not having confidence, but it's just like what's actually allowed and like what can or can't you do. And I think once you have a better understanding of that, then you feel much more empowered and you understand like what's required for the show, what, you know, what we need. And how to make that work for you and still be authentic, right? Because, look, I'm grateful that they added me to the show. I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here. And I think a lot of people might have quit if they were me after season three. But, you know, I'm very strong. And I was like, oh, I'm going to figure this out. I'm not going to quit when, you know, I'm the villain because things can always turn around. Look at the Housewives.
Yes, ma'am.
And whatever, they constantly.
I look at you and I think about Housewives, yeah, honestly.
I agree. Davina, in your opinion, because you've been on so many seasons of Selling Sunset, in your opinion, what does one have to have in order to be a multi-season sort of regular? Like what traits do they have to possess, would you say?
Oh, that's a good question. I think you got to be pretty courageous and bold in some moments. Like, you have to be willing to take risks. And I think I know for a fact some people are not, you know, they have certain opinions, but they would never share them because it's just too scary. And so to be interesting on the show and to really either connect with somebody or make a dramatic impact, you have to be willing to take a chance and just risks. And you never know, it might work out in your favor, but you don't know. So you have to have the kind of those balls of steel, you know, because it's scary. It can be very anxiety inducing. So, you have to be willing to take risks. I think you have to be, you have to be in the fashion and the way you look on camera, be aware of that. And, just confident in general. Yeah. And, you know, defend yourself if someone is coming for you, someone will come for you. If you're not going to come for them, they're going to come for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Eventually it's going to happen to everybody, and you got to somehow manage that conversation. And, hopefully the part that where you sort of, defended yourself or got out of the mess, gets shown in the way that is flattering. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm on board with that, Davina. You just dropped some golden nuggets. Y'all heard that? Now go be on TV.
Davina has me thinking. I'm like, is this the last tussle I got into? What am I going to look like? what is that going to look like? I don't know, Davina. You and I, we're both in the same boat, sister. Okay, because my edits are not good either. But you know what? Mm. I am okay with being like portrayed as the villain because I don't want people thinking that I'm nice. I don't want people thinking I'm a pushover. I think the only thing worse than being a villain is being someone that can be ran over. So
or forgettable.
Yeah. Or forgotten.
Because why would you put all your stuff out there to be forgotten? Yeah. You
know? Exactly. Everybody knows my name, baby. I'm not worried about it.
Everybody knows my name too. They're always like, you know, on Twitter, I saw a photo. I was at dinner the other day and someone was like, oh, I thought she was going to bite me. I was like, all right, you know, that's what you think. But at least I'm, you know, you were too scared to ask me for a photo. I would have been more than happy, but you're so scared.
You should have been like, hi.
Exactly.
I would have lunged at the table.
Do you think that there's power in being a reality TV villain, Davina?
Oh, definitely. Most definitely. It just depends.
Do you consider yourself a villain?
I think I was. And, you know, I don't consider myself a villain, but I am very strong. And if you push me, like, I'm not going to back down. This is exactly why I'm still here. Because a lot of people would have already quit.
Talk your shit, Davina.
Right. I'm really
good. Like, I'm coming for you. Yeah.
I'm really glad we're getting into this because the internet loves to portray outspoken women as the villain, right? Like, you had an opinion and you said your piece, and there's something wrong with that, right? There's something wrong with you just kind of saying what you want to say. I don't think that you're the villain. I think that you are more direct and more blunt and more of a risk taker than some of your other castmates. But I don't think you're the villain. I actually really enjoy watching you on TV, and I really like seeing the character development of your role on Selling Sunset.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I mean, but then at that point, like, after going through that, then you're like, okay, like, when do you want to take that risk to be super bold? Because then that's the only thing they're going to show. So I have to be,
calculated.
Yeah, you have to kind of think about when is the best time to unleash that, you know?
When's the best time to unleash the Kraken?
Okay, girl. Interesting. This is a great conversation.
Yeah, Davina. Okay, while we're on, like, still this topic, is there a moment that happened on the show that you were surprised by how the scene looked? Like, maybe you were there, and then when you saw the show and you were like...
So many scenes. You mean my own or other people's?
Whichever one stands out to you the most.
Yeah.
Well, the first scene?
When I say other people, I mean Christine. You know, it was interesting because when we were filming season 5, because we filmed 4 and 5 back to back. And 4 was fine. But then when we filmed 5, you know, we were still texting all the time, talking on the phone. We didn't have a lot of scenes together, which I was like, oh, interesting. You know, so I was like, okay, what's happening here? And she was filming a lot with Chelsea. So I was like, I know Christine pretty well. And I was like, huh. Yeah, I had a feeling she was talking shit, but I didn't know because I wasn't part of her scenes. Mm. So I was like, I'm curious what exactly she's saying, right? And she was still really friendly to me and texting me, and I would see her here and there, and she was really nice and we were cool. And I just thought she was like busy with the baby or whatever. But when I saw the show, I was like, wow, this is good to know. Good to know that you threw me under the bus and you were basically fake to my face, being nice, and you were just talking nonstop shit. And
so you didn't find out until you watched the show that she was saying all of it?
Davina, Christine ain't call you and say, okay, girl, this is how it's going to go down.
Yeah.
Like, y'all don't do that. So then I'm calling you and being like, girl, I was talking shit.
Courtney, I'm currently talking shit about you.
I'll call and tell you.
I'll pick you up at 9. We still got dinner reservations, right? Okay, love you, bitch. Bye. That bitch, Courtney.
I'm kind of surprised. Y'all don't keep each other in the know before y'all see the show?
Wow, that's interesting.
No, we do. But when I asked her, she was like, oh, it's fine, no worries. And when she's like breezy and blowing it off, I was like, okay, I got you. I was like, there's something more there that you're not sharing, and I know her. And so I was like, okay, I understand what's happening. So I had an assumption, but I didn't know exactly what she was saying or how the scenes were going down. And I was like, well, I'm not worried, but, you know, maybe you should think about what's happening here, because there's like 10 other people on the cast that also have opinions, and we're all filming as well. And, you know, maybe think about that. So up until actually the reunion, before the show had aired, she was talking to me and we were talking about glam, and I hooked her up with my hairdresser, and I was, you know, being really nice, asking her about all kinds of stuff, travel and whatnot. And we were totally cool. And then when I saw the show, I was like, did you think this was going to be okay? Like, you thought I was just going to let this go? Like, you thought we were going to just continue on as if nothing happened? Like, I don't think so.
I wonder, is that always how drama went with you guys in the prior seasons? Oh shit, this is a surprise. Or did you guys let each other know prior to filming or prior to the show dropping that?
I mean, if we're all in a scene together, then everyone witnesses what happens, right?
Of course.
Yeah. But then if it's just one or two or four people, you might hear something like, they were talking about so-and-so or something happened, you know, but you may not know exactly what was said.
Right.
Because they're also like, well, we don't know what's going to be used of a 3-hour scene. So let's hope.
Maybe she didn't. But I can't imagine you, because in season 5, she talked a lot of shit. I felt like every scene, and I don't want to make this interview about Christine because it is definitely about you, Davina, but I understand what you're saying. It felt like every scene that Christine was in the interview portion, at least, it was talking about someone. So I mean, I can, with respect to her, I think like maybe she was hoping that some of the scenes didn't get used, but if you're talking that much,
own the shit talking.
I mean, at least just be like, hey, look, I don't want you to be surprised. Mm-hmm. There are a couple interviews where I said some things, and you know, I just want to let you know we're cool on the back end. We're cool. Mm-hmm. It's just show drama. You know, season 5.
We gotta dig deep. But she thought she was gonna use me for show drama and for her character and to be the ultimate villain that can just step all over people and that they'll just accept that. And that's not what's happening.
That's real drama. It's no longer a show.
I was going to say, y'all not cool?
No.
Okay.
Wow. No. Is she cool with anyone on the cast that you know? Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
Familiar.
But there's so much
more.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it sounds a lot like a situation we know.
Yeah. Interesting.
It's just, there's so much more that happened that like all of these things all together. But for me, the fact that she was talking so much shit and then pretending to be cool to my face and then trying to be like, that's just for the show. What does it mean to taking it serious? That's what she told Maya. But then to me, she was like, oh, what did she say? Oh yeah, I was hurt that you were friends with Emma. So it's like, which one is it, right? Like,
what is it? What's real and what's not?
Right. You can't like cherry pick what is real, what moments are fake.
And then also like own the fact that you did that, and instead of hoping that it wasn't going to be used, like, I don't know.
Oh wow, interesting. That's that's crazy. Do you think that
that's
she'll
why,
be
like, I wanted to own what I had said about Chriselle. You see what I mean? Like I was like, yo, you're gonna see it. This is what happened, and my intention was to be actually open about it. So
I mean, I see it, Davina. That's why we wanted to have you on the podcast. Yeah. I mean, I love that about you. I love that you are always willing to go there. That you never have a problem speaking about things. I think a lot of people, especially in this industry, don't know how to deal with confrontation, and that's just not something I feel like you're very shy of.
I agree.
You know, you're
I don't love it, but like if you want to talk about something, let's talk about it. being filmed for a TV show and the tone matters. And then it can, with music, I can say, you know, I don't know if you guys noticed, but I get a lot of crazy carny clown music and things like that. It's like, for example, this is a very small scene. I meet Mary and Jason in season 5 and I talk about, or 4, I think, talk about coming back at a coffee shop, right? And our scene was supposed to be at a restaurant, I forgot the name, on Melrose. It was supposed to be at a high-end restaurant for dinner. And so I got this pink dress that was dressy, and I'm in hair and makeup getting ready. And they're like, oh my God, panicking. Sorry. You know, we switched you, Jason and Mary, with Christine and Vanessa, and we're going to give you guys the coffee shop where they were supposed to meet. And they're going to get the dinner spot where you were supposed to go. And I'm like, but I have an outfit for like a
nighttime dinner. You're like, I'm in a pink dress.
Yeah. And they're like, well, sorry, that's what we're doing. So I'm like, okay, I guess I'll just be overdressed. So I go there. And of course, they play carnival music to make me look stupid. And it's like
you purposely overdressed. Yeah.
You know what? You can never be overdressed or overeducated. I live by that.
Davina, here's a question. Okay, so me and Savannah, our opinions on production in general are like two sides of this, of the argument, right? Like Savannah feels like producers don't have souls. I feel
a vast majority.
I feel like depending on the situation, they can be like your biggest cheerleaders. What's your opinion on that argument?
Yeah, I would agree with both of you. They're human beings. They're usually actually very emotionally intelligent, which is why they can do this job.
Yes.
They know how to connect with people, and they're very good at communicating and relating to someone because they've dealt with reality talent, they've dealt with reality shows, they understand what it means to blast this out into the universe and the anxiety related to that. So I think that they can be very kind and sweet and do have your best intentions. On the same token, they're here to do a job and they're here to get a juicy reality show.
Exactly.
You know, one of my closest friends was a showrunner for, I don't want to say the shows, but big shows. And she would tell me like it's killing her because she's friends, genuinely friends with the stars of the show. And she was struggling because she had to kind of, I don't want to say take advantage, but she had to kind of like, you know, get some of the stories
manipulate.
Out. Yeah. And she was struggling with that emotionally. And she was like, I don't know if I can do this much longer. So she actually quit after 15 years. So
yeah, that's why I feel like.
Yeah.
If I
so they are kind people and they are really sweet and really smart. And you want to trust them, which is why they've been selected for this job. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, sometimes they have your best interest at heart. Sometimes they don't. And you have to feel your intuition, what you think is happening, which can take you on a kind of a spiral, right? Because you're like, is this really what's happening? You know, is this something that's going to be edited? Like, is this in my best interest or am I being played? Like, I don't know.
So. Oh my God. The constant struggle between what is good for me and what isn't when you're on a reality TV show. I completely agree with you. I think that producers are there to do a job. I think that they care about you when it benefits their job. They care about your well-being as long as you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, as long as you're helping the storyline to develop. And then I think there comes a certain point where every producer, like your friend, is conflicted because to the core, I think they're good people just trying to do a good job, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, you can't be like a morally correct person and be a reality TV show producer. It just doesn't work like that. And so I don't know, that's why I have feelings about it, because it's like, yeah, they care about us, but only to a certain extent.
This is work. That's the thing. You want to treat them like a friend, right? Mm-hmm. And you see them so much and you want to kind of be friends with them.
Yeah.
But there's really a boundary because you have to understand the dynamic and,
exactly.
and also their job, right? And that's their job. Literally, that's their job. So it's tricky. And that's where I'm going to go back to like, knowing certain things and then feeling more empowered because you're like, you know what? No, I'm not doing that because I don't want it. I don't feel comfortable or I don't agree with this. And I will say there were moments that were extremely tense and I felt like they really did have my back. So, and it played out exactly the way I felt in the moment. So
yeah,
there are moments where they do really care, I think, and they can see that you're struggling and you're really vulnerable and struggling, and they're like, okay, you know, this person needs my help right now, genuinely, whoever it might be. And I have had that experience too, where I was like, guys, I'm not doing good. Like, I'm not going to show up for this. I can't do this. This is like too much for me. And they really did help me a lot. So, it turned out fine. So it's a toss up depending on the situation.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. I agree. That's good to know. It's good to know that you feel that way after everything you've been through too.
Oh, I mean, trust me, I've been through really bad moments too, right? But yeah, but there were also good moments. So I'm happy I have that as a reference, and that it played out like the final version was exactly how my intuition felt. So I was like, okay, so it depends. It's 50-50. You have to kind of feel it out. And that's why it's so, I don't want to say draining, but it's like very emotionally involved, you know, because you have to think about what's happening and your castmate, and also the producers, and what's the goal here. So,
Exactly. Okay. So we've heard about you being on Selling Sunset. We've heard a little bit of your life before. I want to hear about the after. What's next for you, Davina? Are you going to continue doing reality, real estate, or what are you going to do, girl? I feel like you could create your own business at this point.
Well, I have real estate courses that are about to launch. Happy Real Estate Agent. So many people are curious and they want to know and they want to learn. So I decided to launch those. I think they're going to come out in like a week or so. So I'm very excited.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks. And then I do have a project in the works, but I can't talk about it. So I'm very excited about that. Oh, it's beauty related. So yeah.
Don't worry. You can tell us after. Okay.
Yes, I will. And yeah, just I want to try to go to Burning Man. We'll see if I can go, because we're filming during that time. So,
take the crew to Burning Man, girls. Tell them to
that's the cash trip right there, girl.
Tell them to drive out the RV.
Davina, like, I don't want y'all in my business like that while I'm trying to live my life.
I would do that, but that's a grueling setup, and I don't know if they allow that, like, because they're like anti-commercial stuff.
You know? And you know what? It might. Because the whole point of Burning Man is to disconnect. My brother, I have an older brother that religiously goes to Burning Man, tries to get me to go every year. But Burning Man is one of those festivals that you can't just do last minute, because it's in the middle of the desert. You need to plan for a week in the desert. You also can't, like, there's no trash cans out there, so you can't just like leave your trash. You have to take all your trash out.
Whoa.
There's like no like plumbing or anything, so you're like literally camping. It is quite literally latitude and longitude coordinates that are sent to you, and like everybody agrees, like, okay, this is where we're gonna meet. You drive like off road for miles in the desert, and you're just hoping you're going in the right direction, and then randomly you like see everyone, and it's just like you're in the desert. You're literally in the middle of nowhere. And it's crazy, because then they have all these really awesome art installations and stuff, and
amazing art. I mean, the thing is, like, so many people say, oh, it's so life-changing. Like, I think it's a bit dramatic. Like, it's really fun. The art's insane.
Yeah.
It looks like you're on Mars, because the landscape is so dusty. And
I'll go with you, Davina. Shoot. My brother always goes and always wants me to go with him. But by the time I decide I want to go, it's like too late for me to get everything. And I want to be prepared. I don't want to be like dehydrated in the desert.
Yeah, no, you gotta be prepared. Yeah. There's a few different ways you can go, but this year it's really tough to get tickets, just because I guess everyone wants to go after COVID, right?
Lord.
So we'll see. But that's the other thing. If you're going to go, then you can't just go for 2 days. So I don't know if it's going to work with the schedule. So
Fuck it. I'm just kidding. fuck it. No. I mean, you got to do Selling Sunset. We love you on there. But if you can get away, you know, I think it would be fun, especially for the other girls.
I agree. No, I totally agree. I'm going to try to go.
The other girls could use a good Burning Man trip. I'm going to tell you that.
I would agree with you there. But,
just a little spiritual awakening.
Yeah.
Alrighty, it's time to get into our game.
All right, Davina, look, girl, I love you, but at the end of every episode, we like to play a little game with our guests, just to get the little wheels turning up here, okay?
Okay.
It's our version of Fuck, Marry, Kill. We call it Kiss, Marry, Avoid, okay? Kiss, Marry, Avoid. You have to pick from these three options. You want to give her her options?
I'm going
to
give you your options, Davina. We have Christine, Chriselle, and Adnan.
Adnan is
that $75 million Superman she.
Yes, which we met him. We went to the house. Beautiful house.
Beautiful home.
Very expensive.
Very expensive. No, wait, Christine, Chrishell, and Adnan.
Kiss, marry, avoid. We like to make it fun. We like to make it fun.
Fun and challenging, girl.
What am I going to do with Anna, guys? Like, be my client. Like, what? I'm going to be like, avoid? Like, I don't know.
Give me a little kiss. Say sorry. I couldn't sell your house. Here's a little kiss.
Yeah.
Blow him a little kiss.
Okay, Christine, avoid.
I think we got that.
Adnan, kiss. And Chrishell, marry.
Love that.
I love that. What about you?
Oh, goodness. Kiss, marry, avoid. Kiss, marry, avoid. Kiss, marry, avoid. Marry Adnan, because I want that house, baby. Ooh. Sorry to his wife, but cha-ching, okay?
Silly.
Cha-ching.
He's so nice, though. You guys met him, right? Oh, like, isn't he
nice? Very nice. I had to go up to him and talk to him. I made it a point to go up to his wife and him, and I said, you guys have a lovely house. Can I move in? No, I'm kidding. I just said, you guys have a really lovely house. Have you sold this? And he said, no, and I laughed, you know, because he was joking with him. Love him, the sweetest guy. If he's looking for a second wife, marry Adnan.
People are like, does he want to be my daddy? Like, I'm available.
Yeah, no, he's such a self-respecting man. He wouldn't even bat an eyelash at me. But I would still want to marry the man. I don't know. I'm stuck because I really like Christine and Chrishell. Like, I don't really know either of them personally, so I can't avoid.
And I love Christine. Like, you know, I do wish her the best. And I wish, I don't know, you know, I have no idea. I don't know if she's coming back to the show or not. But if she does come back, like, I would talk to her. And I would talk to her, you know, if she wanted to meet up and apologize and actually make an effort. But I don't see that, so...
It's okay. We understand. I mean, I think sometimes you can only go so far with people. And I always like to say people are in your life for reasons and seasons.
You're right.
So literally, quite literally, Christine was in your life for seasons and now she's gone.
Silly.
And,
literally.
You know, I think I would want to marry Chrishell because...
You know her a little bit,
I know Chrishell a little bit and she's so sweet. And I know the last person. I mean, I know the last person she was married to. It didn't work out, and I think I could do better than him. So marry Chrishell, and who does that leave?
You're kissing Christine.
I'm kissing Christine.
Mm-hmm.
Come here, Christine. Give me those full lips.
You're silly. Me, I am going to avoid Adnan just because.
How did I know?
A and Ad begins with A. I'm going to marry Chrishell because she's sweet and she throws excellent parties and she's a lot of fun.
She doesn't invite me though.
Silly.
Chrishell, I know you're watching, sister. You can also call me.
I know that. Okay, yeah.
And I would kiss Christine because she'd probably kiss me with a luxury lip color.
Yeah.
So shout out to you, Christine.
I need the look here.
Fun.
Oh, well, I think that was a good game. I mean, I think this is good. I hope no real feelings are hurt because it truly is just a game.
Of course not.
All right. Well, Davina, it was so awesome having you on the podcast. You were everything and more that we hoped you would be. It's great getting to know you. And now I feel like I can call you a friend because we met already at the FYC event. But now I really feel like, okay, we are bonded.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's an understanding.
Yeah.
I mean, Courtney and I think we played a little basketball.
Yeah, we was at Chrishell's. We shot the little hoops, girl.
Were you dunking on him?
Listen, she was way better than I was. Believe that.
where can our viewers find you? Davina, how can they keep up with you aside from this podcast and the TV show?
On Instagram at Davina Potratz, and my courses will be for sale very soon.
Awesome.
Get them courses, y'all.
Courtney.
Yeah,
you can follow me on social media at Court Revolution on Twitter and TikTok and Courtney Revolution on Instagram.
You can find me online at Savannah Palacio, basically everywhere. But if you're Adnan, call me 818. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Make sure you follow the Homecoming Queens podcast on TikTok and Instagram at Homecoming Queens Pod.
You can watch every episode of the Homecoming Queens podcast on our new YouTube channel, Homecoming Queens Pod. We just started it. All right, y'all. Rate, review, and subscribe. You know what to do. Other than that, thanks for watching, everyone. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye. liqueur.
Homecoming Queens is part of the Eve Podcast Network and a Forever Dog production. Executive producer, Tracy Soren. Engineer, producer, and editor, Clementine Yost. Theme song by Will Pitts. Cover photo by Stephanie Sayas. Forever Dog Productions is Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm.